was born in 67, the year of Sergeant Pepper. And are you experienced? Into a suburb of heaven. Yeah, and it should have been forever. It all seemed to make so much sense. But after a while, you realize time flies. And the best thing that you can do is take whatever comes to you.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the first episode of There's a Crack in the Wall with our guest and code cracker Will and myself, Steve Wilner, in which we'll be discussing the strange ciphers in our language system that seem to follow the rule of pi and other interesting mathematical and geometrical configurations. These patterns are then used to keep humanity in a dualistic mindset and are used by advertising companies all over the world to basically keep everyone running through a maze. Always with that splinter in the mind that something is not right with the world. By exposing these language schemes, our only hope is that we can inject a just scrambling virus into the stream of consciousness so that we can one day wake up in a world that we no longer feel oppressed by or made to fear. If we no longer had those parameters that our alleged masters have imposed upon us, we could truly start to recognize what Morpheus meant by the statement, free your mind. Without further ado, we have a code-cracking genius with us today. His name is Will. He lives in Phoenix, Arizona, and he's got some very interesting codes to share with us.
How's it going?
How you doing, Will? I'm doing fine.
Oh, doing great. Yeah, the alphabet, I mean, it's alive and it's living. That's one of the things that we're missing, that it's a living entity, and it's a weapon of mass destruction. It's the greatest weapon against the masses when you're not, you know, aware of how, I mean, of the way that it's used. I was speaking with you earlier saying that the capital letters are the macrocosm and the lowercase letters are the microcosm. So the story of Genesis is the story of the alphabet. It's the story of the letters from A through Z. The alphabet is God. That's what God is.
And it's no coincidence that you're a code-cracking language genius, pretty much, black belt, and you're living in Phoenix, Arizona, which is from A to Z.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, wow. Yeah, it's a... like I was saying, Genesis, it's based on the alphabet from A to Z. And the lowercase letters is the serpent crawling on its belly, eating dust. So, so unaware of this language, we're literally eating dust. Just like the Bible said, we would eat the dust of the earth until we awaken to the the larger case letters, the capital letters, which is the term is used, capital punishment. Because, you know, language is used in puns, so we're constantly punished with these puns and these codes and these, you know, different words.
Yeah, speaking of biblical references, a lot of people will be familiar with the Tower of Babel story and how, you know, when the humans were building a structure that was trying to reach the gods, trying to break through this world, the passage is that they came down and confused our language. And we're seeing that in a lot of ways. We're seeing that in a lot of manifestations in our world right now, mainly on a day-to-day basis with these advertisements we see on a regular basis for Coke and for Pepsi and for energy drinks like Rockstar and Monster, because they don't want you to believe that you're already made of energy. They want you to think that Red Bull gives you wings, and they want you to drink the Rockstar and the Monster. It just means single star, and that's why – oh, go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, when you're dealing with esoteric, you know, information and codes, it goes to many different levels. I mean, there's at least seven levels of a cipher, and Red Bull will give you wings if you're thinking of the Red Bull Hathor. You know, if you're thinking of, you know, the goddess Hathor. So, and the Kundalini energy charging, so it would give, you know, it would give you wings, because inside the brain, the I forgot what these bones are called, but there appear these bones that sit on each side of the sphenoid bone that look like wings. And when the pineal and the pituitary gland is activated, you have your red bull giving you wings. So, like I said, there's many levels to this language. It's just, you know, so many cycles within a cycle.
Absolutely. And a lot of these things are when they're structural or when they're physical outside of the human body, a lot of the times they're just macro representations of what inner bodily processes are happening with the human. I know that Solomon's Temple is built to be a representation of the human brain, with the tabernacle or the ark housing the black stone or the communication route to God in a similar location to where the pineal gland is in the human brain. So we have the temple and the body as the temple. So it's just a constant fractal loop outward.
Right, and the seven steps up to that leads up to Solomon's Temple, which are the seven chakras. So, yeah, you're correct. And one thing about, especially, you know, in the Bible, we have our hidden, so-called hidden masters literally speaking to us. The term about, you know, confusing the language, that's actually there, you know, they saying that they're going to confuse the language, because there's a passage where it says, "Think that I've not come to bring peace up on the earth, but a sword." Well, you just remove the, put the S on the other end, and you have words, because words are double-edged swords, you know. And Revelations depict Christ coming riding with this, you know, sword coming out of his mouth, which is words, you know. In other words, being able to use pi. Basically, that's what it is.
Precisely. And a lot of the advertisements and the words that we see and things that we see commonly throughout the day are always thinking us, telling us to basically think within parameters, within the box, not go outside of it.
Right.
You know, Taco Bell, they're shaped like cathedrals, they're shaped like churches, and they have the bell, and they have,
right,
you know, think outside the box. Yet, but they,
right,
but they talk in opposite, because when you're eating in Taco Bell and you're consuming that kind of like fifth grade meat, it's very degrading for the body. It's not healthy in any way, and you're not thinking outside the box. You're just conforming and doing what everybody else is doing, more or less. So a lot of the times they use the language schemes against us, and they speak in opposites. Is that not correct?
Oh, yes, most definitely. A lot of the languages, the words are used to purposely to confuse, or to, you know, like you said, misdirect the masses. But it can't, there's nothing that can be hidden. Absolutely nothing can be hidden when you're pulling information from the dark, from the zero, because when you're traumatized, the zero is removed, and that's how we are traumatized. You know, in math, we start off in the early age in school, and they give you these fractal problems, and the zero is missing. And what that does, that creates within our psyche the desire to stay away from problems, or stay away from solving the problems that even that are in our life, in our, you know, normal everyday life. We refuse to go into the darkness, you know, because we're scared of the dark, because we have been, you know, we've been kept away from the dark, and we've been told that, you know, we want to be enlightened, or seek the light. Well, the light springs from the darkness, and light traces itself, its source is in the darkness, you know. So, you know, everything is done backwards.
That's right. Well, the zero represents to you what? Completeness, wholeness. It's also the symbol of the Ouroboros, the snake eating its tail. It's also the symbol of the Osiris O, the Osama,
right,
the Obama, the,
right,
the I. The,
and it's darkness, because, you know, when I speak to you or you speak to me, you're speaking from a dark place. And inside of your, you know, in our brains, whatever, we're speaking from darkness. We're speaking from the zero, you know. And when we're not aware of darkness, then we speak in, let's see, how can I say this? We speak in linear terms. We don't make connections. In other words, we see the brick, but we don't see the wall. you know.
Right. Yeah. And we're trying to see the cracks in the wall so we could just knock that whole sucker down, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to back up too much since we're getting into all interesting concepts already, but if you want to just let everybody know, since we're going to try to make this an ongoing show and also a video series, what got you into this in the first place when you first discovered Pi and sort of some of the revelations you saw early on?
Well, you know, like the Matrix said, you know something is not necessarily wrong. It's just something that is missing. You know, and the feminine principle is what's missing. It's you know, I remember looking and watching your last video, and you were mentioning worship of the male principle only, because when you take the darkness out, when you take the zero out, you've everything is completely out of balance.
Right.
Excuse me.
When you see, I just thought of Neo's apartment number being 101, and it's the Yakin and Boaz pillars of Solomon on either side of the zero, which could also be seen as the egg or the feminine.
Right. And then, exactly. So you're looking at 101, but you're also looking at a code of okay. You know, we go through life and all these different little phrases and things we hear, we never really know what they mean.
Right.
But you have right there, 101 is okay. And when things are okay, it means you understand the whole philosophy of the construct of the alphabet. Excuse me. There are, 26 letters in the alphabet, and 15 are symmetrical and 11 are asymmetrical. So then you have the philosophy or the idea of the okay corral or the okay coral, which is the brain. And the zero is the left brain, which is the darkness, and the K, you know, is the right brain. So you have this idea of 101 or 11.
Right, and K is also the 11th letter of the alphabet. Am I right?
Exactly.
So when you see the double K or the circle K or anything like that out in society, you're kind of looking at an 11-11, which is representative, again, of dualistic thinking.
Yeah, exactly. And the, they had the KKK, and they burn the cross in the yard in KKK, which is 11-11-11, is just 33 or 360 degrees.
Right.
So when we don't see these things, you know, because darkness is light. It is metaphysically, it is light. So when we only see things one way, is how we suffer, because words are, it's how we imagine everything that we see in front of us.
Precisely. And I don't think that anybody would dispute the idea that our would-be controllers or society as a whole tends to bastardize and keep the sacred feminine in the dark. When I was talking in my last video about how they're still trying to do that and, you know, into the new eon, to our future, it was in a video game called Bayonetta. And the O in that game, they just replaced with a reptilian eye, you know, basically like our, you know, Anunnaki masters, whatever. People who created the language in the first place. And you go throughout the game playing as an Umbra Witch, so you're playing on the polarity of darkness, battling against all of heaven's angels and collecting their halos along the way. Just like, remember that game Sonic the Hedgehog?
Mm-hmm.
Where he would just go through the Saturnian rings and collect all the halos, and that was his life. His life source was the Saturn halo. And so you go through the game as this Umbra Witch, and you kill all of God's angels because that's the enemy or the foe in the game. And at the very end, you go face to face with the all-knowing, all-loving, whatever creator god named Jubileus. And Jubileus, the whole game, you're thinking masculine, right? Because that name, I don't know, when I was playing the game, Jubileus made me think of a man. But when you finally get to her, it is a gigantic Hindu-like deity with multiple heads, but most definitely a female deity. And she surrounds you in this like ribbon of energy in space. And you fight her, and if you're able to vanquish her, you throw her into the center of the sun. So, and also in the word Bayonetta, the title of the game, it houses the word Aeon. So the new Aeon, they're saying they want you to discard the sacred feminine, throw her into the sun, and again, you know, keep her in the darkness. You know, it's a play on polarities once again.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, because you can see this done with the beheading of the Statue of Liberty in several movies where ISIS is the head is on the ground, and you have Queen of Hearts saying off with your head. But like I said, you know, when you're dealing with esoteric, you have several levels of meaning to, you know, a concept such as that. And off with his head is a person. One thing I'd like to clear up that I think the audience might find interesting is the word hate. And hate, there's absolutely no such thing as hate. The Egyptian word for the head is hat. So we have, you know, society who lives in their head, and then you have those who try to, you know, live in their heart. So we have to find balance between our head and our heart. So there's actually no hate. It's just as we live in our heads mostly. And you can see this depicted on the movie Lord of the Rings, where the golem, he lived in his head. He lived in his head constantly.
And he went bonkers. He went psychotic.
Right. He constantly played this record over and over in his head. And that's one thing we as, you know, becoming aware and conscious, we have to be careful of what record that we're playing over and over and over and over in our head.
Absolutely. And what that record that was playing over and over in his head was to keep his precious safe, his Saturnian ring. And he was willing to jump into the heart of a volcano for it. He seemed to be pretty much at peace with that fact at the end of the film.
Right, because he became the beast of burden. Instead of lighting the ring of fire, he became the one carrying the ring. And that's actually what we are supposed to be doing, is lighting the ring of fire, not being the one, the hero, or trying to carry the ring up to the mountaintop. Notice that the closer Frodo got to the top, the heavier the ring got. And that's what we're experiencing right now with all the weather changes. The ring is getting heavier for those that are looking at the suffering aspect of everything that's going on, but there's something divine that's taking place at the same time.
Sure. I mean, it's hard to see the destruction like the earthquakes we've been, you know, witnessing lately and see it in a positive light, or see it as some kind of divine intervention. But there does seem to be some kind of coding system involved, even with the events that happen on the surface like that. Like Goro Adachi's website, Etymonenki, we were talking about that the other day, shows that there's a clear pentagramic geometric correlation between where the earthquake struck in Haiti and where the earthquake struck in off the coast of Chile. And that last earthquake was an 8.8, which is just two infinity signs flipped on their edge. And I was just reading on Red Eyes Creations, an article they just put up, that it actually might have altered the axis of the planet Earth, that earthquake itself. So that is a form of divine intervention. I know there's a tremendous loss of life, and that is sad to us. But, I mean, it's actually changing the geology of the planet in a way.
Oh, definitely. Like I was saying, you know, we unaware of the use of numbers and unaware of the use of, you know, the alphabet construct, we just go through life pretty much blind. For example, that, you know, the Haiti earthquake took place on 112. Well, you know, Puff Daddy had a group called 112.
Right.
So you're falling in love, and you're falling in love with 112, and then you look around, and you have Ruby Tuesdays that's connected with this 112, because, you know, Tuesday is the day of Mars. So, and so you have this 112 constantly being put out into the ether. Matter of fact, my son, he had to pay a fine recently. And the option was to pay this 112 or go to classes. So you have this number constantly being put into the ether. They're actually bending the light, you know.
Right. And 112 is, again, another 1111, because all you have to do is separate two into two ones, and you have the four pillars again.
Exactly.
And we just recently had all the incredible symbolism at Super Bowl 44, which is 11-11-11-11, if you look at it mathematically. And we were talking about how at the Super Bowl halftime show, you had The Who playing on a gigantic stage that looked like a first contact situation on a giant UFO. And The Who, all you got to do is shorten the H and switch the letters around. You have the New World Order right there. It also makes you think of UFO phonetically. And you have the two teams, the Saints triumphing over the Colts. The symbolism on the Colt logo is basically a horseshoe or a wormhole, just like a Stephen Hawking, you know, space-time rift. And you have them playing this sort of physical drama out that's geared towards violence in a stadium called Sun, what is it, Sundance Stadium, something like that? Something to do with the Suns.
Right.
It's more raw symbolism, more light symbolism. You know, all the advertising companies want to make you think that you're drinking light. That's why when you're drinking a Corona, you're drinking the sun, more or less. It's the cornea that lets the light into the eye. It's the coroner that picks you up when you are, you know, blue and you're deceased. It's the coroner that comes to get you. It's the cornerstone that the Masons put at the top of the pyramid, the eye of the pyramid, the coroner stone. So you see how all these words are interchangeable. It's amazing.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's language is the ultimate weapon. You know, and the power of repetition constantly. You know, the use of repetition. It sends us into a hypnotic state when we're not aware, and you know the constant repetition, because actually they seek to control what's put into the ether. You know, that's basically it. And, you know, they say that it's six, and we say that it's nine, when it's actually both. And when you realize that it's both, it's nothing to fear, because it's up to you how you perceive it. It's all about your perception.
Yeah, and I deal with a lot of people that are in the so quote-unquote alternative perceptions community, second matrix, whatever you want to call it. And a lot of them are still afraid, even though they think they've learned some more truths, because they're still bogged down by language. They're still associating it with being oppressed, and they're not seeing the beauty in the numbers as well. And when you don't see the flip side, when you don't see the positive, you're sort of letting that force take over you, and you're letting those controllers win, because there is an equal amount of beauty in the words, you know.
Right, exactly. Well, I mean, and when you're using pi, and when you understand that creation is mirrors. And we don't realize that everything is a reflection, as above, so below, we fall through the looking glass. And that's how we suffer. That, you know, when you can stand in the mirror, and it's a very powerful principle, but you can stand in the mirror and you look in the mirror and what's behind you is in front of you. And that's a very powerful principle to understand and to fully understand. And when you understand that what's behind you is in front of you, you realize that there's only this moment. There's only the present, you know. And that is a principle that you can find within Sagittarius, which is the looking glass, which is the reflecting pool of ancient Egypt. You know, the water door, you know, Sagittarius. So looking into the water, you see your reflection, and you see the reflection of all creation. I mean, you can, moon is reflected in a blade of grass. And when you understand that, no one can frighten you.
No, and the water is symbolic of the water door, the out-of-body experience, the wormhole traversing dimensions and being birthed into a new reality, awakening in a new world. When Neo woke up in the real world, the first thing that happened to him was he was ejected out of this sort of matrix system where the language had been embedded into his head and then, you know, basically soldered to the different points on his kundalini chakra system on his spine, and he's flushed right into the water.
Right. And you know, and that's one thing we have to also pay attention to is when you're dealing with the occult, everything is done backwards. You look at Neo, he was given a choice to wake up, and choice is an illusion. And, you know, you have the red and blue pill, which is the root chakra and the throat chakra. So you need them both, you know, for the path. You don't, you know, the choice it leads to one choice. So choice is an illusion, and so here you have Neo inside the matrix with his blinders on and with his shades on, which become shades is Hades. See, so
right, you know, right. Morpheus was trying to give Neo advice, and a visor blocks out the sun, and he was offering him the red and the blue pill, which is dualistic thinking, and they were being reflected from his sunglasses that he was wearing.
He was adding a vice to his thinking as advice. Exactly. He was adding a vice to his thinking.
Very good. Very good. And I was just watching, and these memes, you know, repeat in films, because that's what I do with synchro mysticism that I learned from Kotze and others, basically, is just to watch the patterns and where the actors tend to repeat certain memes. And I was just watching the film A Scanner Darkly. Have you ever seen that one?
No, I haven't. I've heard of it, though.
Philip K. Dick, Scanner Darkly. Well, Neo is taking this substance D all day long. We were just talking about how if you flip the letter D on its axis, it looks like the sun rising on the horizon. And those are red pills as well. So you have Neo, the one, in an alternate film, constantly eating this, you know, psychedelic drug that is a red pill as well. And so all these things repeat in pop culture as well. It's not just in the language, it's everywhere.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, like you were saying, the Neo, then we have the neocortex of the brain is what we're really trying to activate, you know, to awaken the neocortex. Excuse me.
The Neanderthal.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, it's language is a very powerful tool, and but when you start realizing the connection in all things, it's absolutely beautiful. It's just absolutely beautiful because, you know, when you realize, and, you know, there's another word there, connected. So when you begin to speak truth because you're speaking from the throat chakra or the neck, when you realize that things are connected.
Right.
And, so it's absolutely beautiful, and it brings peace in your life when you have utilize the darkness, you know, because
it tends to blow people's mind when you start to show them that the actual anatomy of the human body, the names that we have attached to some of the functioning of our own bodies, are so heavily encoded, and then, you know, most people's reaction is to laugh about it, like, what is your intestines? It's the test of time. It's the part when a carbon-based life form, which is 666, it's 666 because carbon has the six neutrons, six protons, six electrons. Mm-hmm. You have your food, your energy, going through your digestive system, which is just the test of time, and then coming out eventually out of your anus, your anu. So you have those symbols as well. Do you talk much about that on the Avalon Forum?
Yeah, I deal with the sacred anatomy quite a bit. The Bible is one of those books that has the human body throughout it. Like I was saying, there's several levels to the esoteric traditions. You know, the body, for example, paying tithes. And you were speaking of your Sony Vegas software.
Yeah, that's the program I use to do the video editing.
Right. Well, we're talking about the vagus. The vagus, there's a vagus nerve that recirculates the Christ oil through the body up to the brain. And this vagus nerve is 10% smaller than all the other nerve channels. So this is what the meaning of paying tithes was, paying your 10%. So because you want this oil comes through this small channel and goes up to the brain. Well, when we starve, you know, the brain of that 10%, we're not paying our tithes.
That's a good one.
Yeah, the whole story of Mary and Joseph, you know, you have the pineal gland and the pituitary gland. The pineal gland secretes a golden-like substance, and the pituitary gland secretes this honey milky-like substance. So you have a land of milk and honey.
Right.
You have this these two divine fluids flowing down into the body, paying the taxes. Yeah, you have the divine economy within inside yourself.
Right. I'm just thinking about everything, like the chemical or the hormone that helps with sleep, the melatonin. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just every single word seems to have an encoding that pertains to its meaning.
The secrets are in the secretion.
Right.
You know, like you're going to sacrifice. You're speaking of the sacral chakra.
Right.
And you're speaking of ice, which rises at you know, once it reaches 32 degrees, it floats.
Right. That's why people that are listening to Red Eyes Creations are thinking about ice being 32 degrees. You know, at the back of your subconscious, you're thinking 32 degrees of Freemasonry. You're also flipping the number around to make 23, which is an important number in the OTO. Crowley used 23 as a mirror of 93, which was Thelema, will, and agape, love. And you're the red ice is, when I think red, when you're seeing red, you are the matador, you know, invoking the bull to charge. So you're charging to rise, because rises when it freezes at 32 degrees. So these are all the processes that you think of when you think of Red Eyes creations, yet these are not the surface narratives. That's not what you normally talk about. They happen at a level, a little bit below the surface in your consciousness, but it's just as profound, if not more so, because you're getting to the very root of it.
Oh, definitely, because, I mean, exactly. For example, the Bible, everything is, the sacred anatomy. That's what's been hidden from humanity for so long is the anatomy. Like the Bible said that we are the salt of the earth, or you have, Leo, Taurus, and the four cardinal points, which gives you the code of salt, S-A-L-T.
It's also encoded, like we were talking about in the word news. The cardinal points are right there, the north, east, west, and south.
Right.
It makes like a slight lightning bolt type configuration if you were to trace out the letters with your finger. And the news lulls you to sleep. It's meant to just make you tired and not conk you out.
Right, and you speak, yes, and that's so you have the cardinal points, and so you have the cardinal square, and the cardinals are the pole. So you have this cardinal square. This is where Seth does the battle constantly with Horus on the red square.
Right.
And you can see this. You see why there's so much turmoil over there in the so-called Middle East, because the flag is the red square. So the battle is constantly on the red square.
Right.
So these principles are constantly being acted out right in front of us. And what it does, it mirrors our own internal struggle and keeps it going. It mirrors our own internal struggle and it keeps it constantly keeps that going. When we're born into a world and there's duality, there's a Democrat and a Republic, and we come in the world and we see that, we go right into the idea of right and wrong, good and bad, good and evil, those concepts.
Right, left and right, and it's as above, as below.
Right.
The seven stars of the Pleiades are mimicked in the seven hills of Rome. So
right.
you have it in the you have it in the structures of the cities that we build on.
Exactly. Yeah, everything is, we look at the world as the way it is, but everything is in divine order. Everything is absolutely perfect.
Right.
It's perfect, and we look at the suffering and the things that take place in the world is because we don't see, and we forgot. And we, like you said, we have amnesia. You have they said this in common in the African American community is sickle cell anemia. Well, it's sickle cell amnesia because you're dealing with Saturn that keeps the Akashic records.
Right.
So you're saying that we're in, and the occult is saying that we're in a state of amnesia.
Right, right. When I hear the word sickle cell, I think of the crescent moon shape that's so predominant in masonry and other secret societies, and it's not about the moon at all. Chris Knowles was just doing a short article on it. It's simply supposed to represent the star that we originally came from, whether it's Sirius or whatever the stars that it's supposed to symbolize, or the Pleiades or one of those prominent stars in our mythos, and it's just a planet occulting a sun. It just happens to look like a crescent moon. But
right.
Again, you have to keep your mind open to different possibilities and not just dualistic ways of thinking. If something's presented to you as a slice of the known universe, basically, if we see something like the Norway spiral, obviously that kind of phenomenon is happening in more than two dimensions. Yet when it's reported in the news, it's reported as two-dimensional. It's a Norway spiral. A spiral is just a two-dimensional object that you could draw on a piece of paper, but really it's a vortex. It's happening in more than two dimensions. But,
right.
It's more ways to trap people with language to keep them.
Right. Well, and then, D and N are interchangeable. So instead of Norway, you also have doorway.
Mm-hmm.
you have doorway spiral. I mean, these words are so, for example, we just had the earthquake and everything that's taken place. And you go up by Russia. And right there at Russia is a city right below Russia, there's a town or area called White Horse.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the Russia the Bear, and the arrow being aimed right down, creating a triangle of fire with Haiti, New Orleans, and New York. You know, you have the triangle of fire right there.
I'm living right in that triangle.
Ah, yeah, you are living in that. You're in that triangle. Yeah, you have the triangle of fire right there. And then you by using pi and understanding that all things connected, you go right to Broken Arrow. And you start understanding all these different concepts, because what's happening when this era is over, this age is over, you have Sagittarius is aiming its arrow at the star Antares. Excuse me.
Aldebaran, the bull's leg.
Well, Antares, and aiming at Antares, the heart of the scorpion.
Oh, okay.
Yes, at the heart of the scorpion. And you have the auto-tune as connected. The auto-tune that the rappers use is called Antares auto-tune.
Yeah, I have that in my audio software.
It's right, and then Jay-Z came along with the death of auto-tune. So now you see that we're trying to auto-tune our frequency to the higher frequency, so Jay-Z comes out with the death of auto-tune.
Yeah, that's incredible. And you see these incredible rituals that, like, Beyonce and Lady Gaga do on these on MTV award shows and things of that nature. And I've had people that have met these people I've met Jay-Z, Beyonce, and they say that they basically glow with this kind of energy that's almost alien. And there's so many rumors that these people are actually related to royalty, that were descendant of the Templar or descendant of some secret society. So you have them, these people in the know, singing our pop songs, and basically carrying the tunes of those encrypted messages, which is Superman's kryptonite. That's what kills Superman, is encryptions,
right?
Or deciphering the codes, and you have those being unleashed into all of the youth of the world. It's much more effective on the young mind when our brains are still very malleable.
Right, exactly. When the vibration is too high in the music, you notice, especially in rap music, the vibration is really low right now.
Mm-hmm.
And when the vibration, because, we are influenced heavily by music, so the vibration has been changed completely. I can use a perfect example. There's a rapper that's called Gucci Mane, and you see that he has the Bart Simpson around his neck.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me. And so Bart rides the skateboard, where whenever you on a board, it represents the Seth energy that sparks things into action. So Bart represents the swiftness of thought.
Mm-hmm.
The swiftness or the ability to think quick and to use language, and that's why you always see him repeating and writing over and over on the board. Well, you see, he has Gucci Mane, which is not the greatest rapper alive. All his rapping comes from the lower chakra. And so you have Bart around his neck on this skateboard. So you have the energy has been taken down to the lower, the lower chakra.
And you said that's associative with Seth?
Yeah, Seth. Yeah, the board.
Oh, the board. Okay, now.
Yes, when you're surfing on a board.
I got it. Just something.
On a skateboard.
Just something that came to my.
Like a chalkboard, Osiris is the chalk on the board.
Right.
That's dead. So it's the dead letters that we have to resurrect. So when you're looking at any type of information in a book or whatever, you're looking at Osiris.
Right.
And as you look at everything around us, that's Osiris, because this is electric, and it comes from the void, which is magnetism. So everything is information, and that's what the occult knows that we don't know.
Right.
Everything is information. That everything is information, and that's in that this what we're looking at is just a combination of one, ones and zeros.
And some of it is cosmic happenstance as well. I was just thinking when we were talking about Bart and boarding something, that there's a really big internet meme right now of this 61-year-old white veteran guy that was riding on the BART transportation system in San Francisco. He got into a fight with a African-American, like, black gangster. So you have the dualistic white and black guy fighting on the BART transportation system. So you could even see that as, like, a lower energy fueled by hatred, Seth energy,
exactly,
where they're fighting each other and causing blood to be spilled on the BART transportation system.
Right, on the bus, because now this is another code word, bus, because bus becomes sub. And, you know, they say you can, you know, throw me under the bus, or you, the person got thrown under the bus, because the bus represents this this sub energy. Like, the bus, especially yellow buses in school, is a symbolic of the sun. And like, so like when I was saying sub, when you subscribe to somebody's YouTube channel, you're under their subscription. Because the subscribe is Tehuti, you know, which is the ninth gate of Sagittarius, which is the looking glass.
Right.
So Tehuti is the subscribe, and the subscribe is Pi.
Wow. Yeah, I did follow you there. That's incredible.
Right.
That's just incredible.
Yeah, so, I mean, everything, you know, the YouTube is the uterus. You know, it's all around us. We just don't. And it's colors and it's numbers. You know, you look at the red and the black with the YouTube, and you see that this is the sexual energy. Red is always, you know, the sexual energy in the lowest chakra.
Right.
So if I can control what's coming out of the YouTube, you know, I'm controlling a major aspect of the voice, because to speak or to utter is feminine, but the words themselves are masculine.
Right.
So when we speak and we have dialogue, it's actually a sexual exchange. It's a sexual intercourse, and it's, you know, what goes, you know, back into the void.
Right. It's also a recording of what happened during the day, because day log, basically.
Yes, exactly.
And I was just thinking, Bart Simpson is what, a simpleton under the sun? I don't know. Or,
well, you know, like I was saying, the vowels are interchangeable.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Bart Sampson, you know, and then so he, you know, and his residence is in Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
So they're telling us something. What is this, you know, Springfield? I mean, you even take the word Illinois, and you see Zion in there, and you see that Illinois is illusion. Chicago sits on a major ley line, and that's why it's called Chi-ago. You know, whenever you see the word Chi or Chihuahua, you're speaking of the Chi or the ley energy.
Interesting.
And so you have Chicago, Illinois, and the Chicago Midway Airport is made out of the X, and, you know, X marks the spot. So Chicago is Gotham City.
Right. And the elite tend to represent New York City as sort of the new West Coast of Atlantis, and they always have, like we were talking about, like destructive scenes when they have the ball dropping for the New Year's ceremony. It's very symbolic of that. It's like they're trying to make that story, which happened in Atlantis, repeat itself by constantly bombarding the public with these disastrous events, these weird golems or monsters that come through the city and wreak havoc, like Godzilla or the Cloverfield monster. Why are they always in New York City, and why are they always trying to wreak havoc? Even in the original Ghostbusters, you had Dan Aykroyd having to think about the Avatar or whatever that was going to come and destroy the city, and all he could think of was the Marshmallow Man. But, you know, still, I mean, they're gating in multidimensional, like, daemons, you know, via magic. In that film, you had the two gates of Yakin and Boaz, the Gozer demons that are opening the portal on the top of the building, and he's gating a demon through it, you know?
Right. Well, you know, New York is the sacred feminine of the United States. It's, you know, sits right there on the waters, and it's the Big Apple, and it's the voice. In other words, it's basically Isis. The statue sits there in the middle of the waters, surrounded by waters, as the pineal gland does. You know, and she sits there with the torch. You know, the torch and that's just symbolic of, you know, the pineal gland.
And the Statue of Liberty is sitting on a very bizarre geometrical structure. It's an 11-pointed star, which is really, really uncommon. And she's got the seven stars of the Pleiades, or whatever the seven sacred seven represents, truly. So you just multiply the base with her helmets, and you have 77, the number of the plane that allegedly hit the Pentagon, which is another sacred geometrical figure. Mm-hmm. And then you have the 9/11 going down, the 7/11 going down when Building 7 crashed down, and then you have the soda, 7 up. So, right. Again, you have opposites playing on each other.
Oh, definitely, definitely. The thing, you know, well, one thing that the powers that was like to make us think that there are opposites, and really there are no opposites. They're just, everything is just like, like I was saying earlier, just mirrors. And we live in basically a hall of mirrors. There's an actual a movie that came out called Mirrors, and you can see in the advertisement of the mirrors, you see the double R.
Right.
You know, which is 36. So you see these two R's back to back showing you that you live in a world of mirrors, and you're constantly falling through the looking glass by thinking that there's good and evil.
I'm actually drinking a Rockstar beverage right now. Mm-hmm. And they have the double R mirrored. It looks like kind of a woman's breast, to tell you the truth, the two R's back to back. And it's within a pentagram. That's inverted, similar to like a Baphomet structure. So you have the double R mirrored in a Baphomet right on the Rockstar drink, which is supposed to give you energy when you're made of energy. Right. And another really interesting correlation, I'm not sure who the original one that discovered it. It might have been Jake Kotze, or it might have been Goro. But on Michael Jackson's latest film or album, I'm not even sure what it was, where it's called This Is It. It was a film, I think. It's called This Is It. So you have Isis right in the middle where he's pointing. And he's actually pointing to the two tops, the apexes of a pentagram, and he's got his feet crossed, like the Baphomet. So if you were to draw the Baphomet over the way Michael Jackson is standing under the word Isis, he was standing directly underneath or inside of a pentagram.
Right. And he says it, and, you know, we're speaking of a code of 9/11, which is the value of it. And it also breaks down to 11. So, you know, just like the Pennywise clown of Steven Spielberg's, not Spielberg, King's It.
Right.
You know? So, and he says that they float down here. And so you go right to Adult Swim, and they say that Adult Swim and kids float. So, you know, it's all tied in. And it basically, you know, say... You know, I mean, Adult Swim was selling some package called Adult Swim in the Box.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just a message that, you know, we swim in a box, that we literally live in a box.
And that animated film that just came out called Up, the guy's house is flying away with all these balloons attached to it.
Right.
And he can't ascend because he's still holding on to his material items, his possessions.
Exactly.
His possessions. He's possessed by his possessions.
Right, right. And he can't let go. like you said, I mean, it's language, and words are very, 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 very powerful. And, you know, by understanding words, you know, I've come to see that so many things are myths, you know, and so many things that we embrace that are actually being real are myths. You know, even the concept of the cowboy, you know, you go right to boy, you just flip the B over and it becomes yacht,
mm-hmm.
which is the flame, you know, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet.
Right.
And then you go to Q, which is the flame of the tongue, which the tongue has 17 muscles in it. So you have Q and A, you know, when someone always want to have a Q and A. And in Yoda, when he spoke in a way that the question was the answer and the answer was the question.
Right.
Which is the truth. You know, the question, the answer lies within the question. And the question, you know, it's with the Q, and the code is in there, West. Well, you find your answers basically in the West, and then you go right to Adam West. So you just use this pie, and it's just everything, you see that everything is connected.
Right, and when you brought up the Q, the last time we talked, I started speaking about that band Queens of the Stone Age. and how the Q is representative of the sperm going into the ovum, basically. And they have that imagery right on their album cover. I think it's their album is called Songs for the Deaf. And they have that on their album. They have the sperm going into the ovum and Queens of the Stone Age. I'm listening to it on my iPod, my Popeye, my seed germination period of 9 months. That's how the brain works, you know what I mean? It breaks things down into those categories. Sometimes you don't always articulate them quite well, but those are the processes that are happening in our mind. When people are circling the black stone in Mecca, they're circling a stone. They're showing worship to the black stone without really thinking why. And so Obama is then a reflection of that in human form as the black president. We circle him, and he takes us through, you know, his series of adventures. He said under his watch, people will begin to respect and admire NASA again. So then Obama starts to resonate the white rabbit, and rabbit is what, rabbi? So the white rabbi?
Well, basically, you're speaking of the white rabbit. You have the constellation, near Orion is the constellation Lepus, and it follows the cycles of the moon, the 13 cycles of the moon, so that's the white rabbit up there. That's the Elmer Fudd and the hunting season, chasing the white rabbit. In other words, chasing time.
Right.
You know, you see that in Alice in Wonderland saying that, you know, you got a very important, you know, a very important date. You know, don't be late, you know, you got a very important date. In other words, stay out of the now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this whole propaganda of 2012, well, have anybody ever thought, you know, stop to think that, you know, 212 is the boiling point.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it could be so many levels of, you know, of understanding of what it actually means.
Sure, because 2012, if you were to invert the twos or look at them in a mirror, you would see that a two makes a seven. So you have a very natural 77 in 2012.
Right.
And, you know, this sort of Zion event, this Oz 77 event that's very much tied in with the 2012. And like I was telling you before, you could actually take the Egyptian Ankh symbol and break that down into four pieces, and that would very clearly say 2012 as well.
Right. Those that are behind the scenes have never let any information out to what, well, I mean, it's in symbols and it's in codes, but they never have let any just sea of propaganda flow to where it was actual truth. Because if there was really truth to 2012, it would be really, really hush hush. It wouldn't be as advertised as much as it is.
Of course not.
Mainstream, a video, you know, a big old, you know, you go to the movie, it's a big old video, you know. it's really what people call the mainstream, where there's no mainstream, there's only one stream of consciousness.
Right.
So, you know, always this play on words and things that keep you divided and keep you separated if you allow them to, the mainstream and the things of that nature. There's only one stream.
And it's also, you know, the 2012 event has been correlated with another 11-11 event, which is, I believe that's the time, 11-11 p.m. is when supposedly this Mayan end of the world is supposed to happen. And, you know, they basically bombard the populace with ideas of destruction and, you know, some kind of huge catastrophe taking place on an 11-11. So would you say that's representative of trying to destroy duality, break people free of a dualistic thinking, or to keep them trapped there even longer?
To keep you out of the now.
Right.
Anything to keep you out of this moment, the present. You know, anything, because everybody's saying, well, you know, this is going to happen in 2012. This is going to, and there's books and there's books and there's books and there's books, and they're missing this moment right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's happening. You know, I sit here and I look in Phoenix and I turn on the TV and there's a show that comes on every morning that says, happening now. And it's telling you. It's a news show. It's called It's Happening Now.
And it's previously recorded, right?
and then it says...
So it's happening.
There's another show that comes on. It's called Your Life from A to Z. So within, you know, within the... in the media, they're telling you. I mean, it's there, you know. Because the TV is only another microcosm, you know. The boxes just get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller
yeah.
until we finally open the real one. You know.
The real Pandora's box.
Yeah, exactly. The boxes are getting smaller and smaller. You just look at consciousness, and the boxes are getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller.
So I think that's
we're moving into the nexus.
Yeah, that's the splinter in everybody's mind. They're getting frustrated that there's no change happening, but really, everything is changing. Everything
always
is.
Yeah.
The quickening is developing at a rate that's beyond calculation.
And right now, yeah, that's another, you know, another trick, you know, change you can believe in, and, you know, we believe in change. Everything is always changing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people say, well, I haven't seen any change yet. It's changing. It's always
changing. Absolutely.
You know, and it's no coincidence that people on the corner are begging for change. That's by design. That's by design. It's done that way, you know. You know?
That's great, man. I can't get enough of this. I'm a sponge. I seriously... I cannot get enough of this. And so we should let people know that we're going to try to do some radio shows every now and then when we hook up, and we're going to do some...
And we're going to try to break as many codes as fast as we come out, because...
Do some videos together, and you know, I mean, if we could just show, you know, a couple thousand people these patterns, and if they could just, you know, use them in their daily lives, so they can start seeing these things for themselves when they're out and about in the world, it can make a change. I think it can make a difference, you know?
Definitely. Well, I have no idea when you're going to air this. Well, they can look forward to the revelation, if I'm still on the planet, the revelation of the bloody glove that was missing. Well, it wasn't missing, but the mystery of the bloody glove and the ski mask in 1992 that the whole world, the ritual was taken through.
The O.J. Simpson ritual. That's
Yeah, the juice. The J-U-I-C-E, you know, where he's in love lockdown facility right now.
Love lockdown. You know, all roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to love, because Rome backwards is amore.
Yeah, exactly.
More.
So, there's so many things that we can discuss. I mean, like I said, it's infinite, and it goes on and on and on. But look forward to the glove and the... basically, we're gonna discuss the fifth element, because that's very important. The fifth element, the quicksilver, and the quickening that's taking place.
I think Will's gonna blow a lot of minds. And my name is Steve Wilner. His name is Will. We both have the will to wake up, right?
Yes. Oh, definitely. We're awakening, and it's happening at an alarming rate. I saw a video a while back where, I believe it was the big new Brzezinski, and said that the global menace awakened at an alarming rate. Well, you take, you know, you look and you have the word, and I'm gonna let you go. And that you got things to do.
No, I can talk for a while.
Well, you have M and N and Ace, you know. So you have the menace, or you know, they say the menace to society.
The phantom menace.
MNN is just 3.14. So they're saying that pi is being explored and being, you know, awakened in the masses.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fly in the ointment. It is. It's the fly in the ointment. Because there's absolutely nothing that can be hidden when you understand that everything comes from the dark.
Right, right. And when you just said fly in the ointment, I just got the vision of that movie Aeon Flux,
mm-hmm.
where she catches the fly in her eyelashes right next to her.
The Venus, yes.
So that's a fly in the ointment. It's a fly in the O, the circumpunct dot, and the eyeball.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the word. They said in the beginning was the word, and that's the word.
Right, right. It's not a coincidence that pi... fly, let's see, sky, the all-seeing eye, all those things are very phonetically similar.
Right. Well, we've been trying to get our piece of the pie and not the pie.
Right. We're trying to prevent ourselves from dying. Die, sky, eye, all those things.
And we don't want a piece. We want the whole pie. And we want peace. And see, you got to put the pieces together to get peace.
Right. And we don't want to try.
Right. Remember, E.T. was in love with Reese's Pieces. And he was following the pieces and gathering those pieces up.
Right, right.
And until he gathered those pieces up, that's when he was able to ascend.
Right.
He was,
and E.T. wanted to phone home using numbers, which was making him numb-er.
Exactly. He wanted to use numbers. And you notice that he became androgynous, wearing the dress and just going with the flow, covered in, you know, going in the Halloween costume. He was just going with the flow. In other words, the adept adapts.
It is too fun to play with these words, man.
The adapt to change, and that was the theme of the Davy Jones thing. That's
why
he refused to adapt to change, and he locked his heart in his chest.
Mm-hmm.
And the next age just came in and just swept everybody away because you refused to adapt to change, because we're constantly holding on to what was. You know, I look on Project Avalon and a lot of different sites where. There's so many things that are being discussed, the economy, this, and what's happening with this, and what's happening with that, and that, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
It's over, and it's no sense in even holding on to it. It's over.
There's no reason to stay in the maze, because everything in the now is amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, we've lost our memory. We're like a rat chasing cheese, chasing that chi, that sexual energy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a joy talking to you, Will, as usual. We'll do this again soon, man.
Oh, most definitely.